and I believe will minister onto your hearts also. And it comes out of Matthew 11, 28, and 30. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Hallelujah. So these scriptures definitely speak of for us to stop striving, to stop struggling, and turn to Jesus and allow him to be him in our lives. He works for us. He works in us. He works through us. And then also in the scriptures, there's just basic care that he's sharing with us, a basic personality of who he is and who he wants to be in our lives. So if you look in your Bible, you have it sometimes, there is, like, we have chunks of scriptures, there's a subtitle. We can just forget it.
It's on. It's going. It's going. I just didn't have the thing in. Your boys are going to be so upset. Yeah, we're good. You're going.
Okay. So our scriptures are, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so if you, when you look in your scriptures, in the book of Matthew in chapter 11, that you might have a subtitle above this group of scriptures. The two Bibles I looked at, one was Jesus gives rest and Jesus reveals the Father. So I want to take a minute and look at this word rest that appears in these scriptures. And often, you just kind of realize it's not the rest like take a nap, good night's sleep. It's a definite different, it's a bigger kind of rest. Now, I think that this rest that he's talking about will benefit you and that you'll be able to take a nap and be able to have a good night's sleep. And so we're going to just dive in a little bit deeper to what this rest is. What helped me, as I was looking at these scriptures, was to also look at Adam in the Amplified Bible. Because Amplified takes the King James and just kind of expands it. So I want to take a look at that real quick. So Matthew 28. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quietness for your soul. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, not hard, not sharp, not pressy, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to bear. Wow. Does anybody feel lighter? Just reading these scriptures. As I started reading them, I just started to feel this pressure off my shoulders. Jesus is showing us what it takes to be at rest. It's all about him. He's just described to us who he is and what is good for us. As I was studying verse 28, I came across a reference of it that referred back to the Old Testament. That's the wonderful thing about the old and the new. Oftentimes, they're just interrelationship. You'll see something in the Old Testament, it will relate back to a verse in the Old, and vice versa. So I found the scripture in Jeremiah that related to Matthew 11, verse 28. And it says this. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and seek and ask the old paths. Here is the good way. Walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. So God is beckoning them. He's saying, come on to me. I can give you the good things. I can refresh you. I can renew you. I can strengthen you. And they, in their rebellion, said, we will not. I don't know how you backtalk God like that. You find in the Old Testament that they did a lot of backtalking. And I suppose some of even the disciples did some backtalking to Jesus, too. And if we be honest, sometimes we do some backtalking. A little background on Jeremiah. He was a prophet in the southern kingdom of Judah during the last 40 years of Judah's history. He warned that the kingdom would be conquered, but the people refused to listen. He faithfully preached God's messages, even though he was rejected and mistreated. And often, when he was giving these messages to the people, he would act them out. He would use props to kind of make it more visible to the people, hoping to catch their attention in the spiritual lessons that he was going through. And in chapter 13, verses 1 through 14, he used a belt to portray God's truth. And he used a potter and a clay. In chapter 18, 1 through 11, he used two baskets of figs. In chapter 24, in verses 1 through 10, and a wooden yoke fitted on his neck for chapter 27, 1 through 10. The overall theme of Jeremiah was the consequences of rebellion. So one thing we know about rebellion is it's all about you. You're going to do it your way, and you're not leaning on the Lord. Now let us look at Jeremiah again in chapter 16, 6. Thus saith, this is in the Amplified, so it's going to expand it more. Thus saith the Lord, stand by the road and look and ask for the eternal paths, where the good and old way is. Then walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk in it. He was telling the people to come back to him. Follow him. Follow my ways. Worship me. And they said, we will not. And obviously they were conquered and they were hauled off to a foreign land. And they stayed there for a very, very long time. So oftentimes we try to do things on our own. We try to fix things the way we think they should be fixed. We shut God out. We don't go to church. We don't fellowship with other believers. We don't read God's word, and we won't even talk to him. We say, we will not. Even though we do this, we serve a gracious and loving God, and he is beckoning back to us. He says, I see you. I see what you're going through. I want to ease your burdens. Come on to me. All right. Now I'd like to do what Jeremiah and even our Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you a little story and use a little prop to get across this spiritual lesson. So here's a little congregational participation. What season is it?
Fall.
Spring, early winter.
What season is it?
Fall. Season of the Lord.
Amen.
It's football season! I knew I'd get you on this one. I thought maybe a couple of guys, but okay. Okay. So just a little disclaimer before I start my little spiritual lesson here with football. I am not an expert on football. I don't know the scheme of it all. I don't analyze it. I don't forecast it. All I know is you cheer when the team is winning, and you go, oh, and the team is losing. My history with football is that when I was growing up, it's something I always watched with my dad. My dad was a rancher, he was a worker, and he worked at the refinery when I was really little. But Sundays we always took the time to watch our one TV channel that had the Broncos on. And we cheered for the Broncos, and when the Broncos made a touchdown, we all cheered, and the dogs all barked, and it was a happy occasion. And when the Broncos lost, it was all John Elway's fault. So that's my little history of football. And so it's always been kind of a, I don't know, a refreshing thing to do. It brings back good memories of me and my dad and I. Now, would you like to have a little story about Pastor? He's not here. When we were first dating, Cordy, we were getting to know each other, and we would take walks in Laramie around this big park. I think it was called Washington Park, and they had a really big walking path all the way around it. It was probably over a mile. And so we would do this on afternoons after work or whatever. We'd go take walks just to get to know each other. And so we were walking one day, and I looked over, and you can see the top of the stadium was not too far away. And I said, well, do you like to watch football? And he said, well, you know, I played football in high school, but when I gave my life to the Lord, you know, it just lost its zeal. It, you know, became really worldly to me, and, you know, we make the players into idols, and, you know, I'm just not much into it anymore. My heart kind of sunk. So the summer went on, and that fall, my mom and dad would come down for a game, because my dad was a veteran, and they would give one being tickets to the veteran and their counterpart. And so I was still a student at the university, so I got a ticket, and I told Gary, you know, I know what you said about football, but my parents are coming down. Would you like to come to the game with us? We'll get you a ticket. He's like, oh, sure, I'd like to do that. I'd like to, you know, you've met my parents already, but I'd like to hang out with your parents a little more, get to know them. So we're at the game. We're sitting on the east side of the stands, and the Cowboys are driving down, and they make the touchdown, like one of those throwing ones that everybody holds their breath on, and the receiver catches it. Pastor jumps up in the air, puts his hands and hoots and hollers, and we're all looking at him like, oh. And then I thought, oh, there's still hope. Boys enjoy watching it, and so that's my background in football. Okay, here's the lesson. Okay, so you got to use your imagination, since we don't have a football game. The team is starting on the their own 1 yard line. There's 99 yards to overcome to make it to the opponent's end zone. The coach, God, goes over the plays with you, the quarterback. What you will need to do in order to make it all the way down the field and score. You and your teammates run out on the field and line up. You call the first play, and it gets you 10 yards. You call out the next play, 10 more yards. You start to feel so confident in what the coach is calling and your own playing ability. You know you're going to make it. The next call comes in, and you make the play, and now you're on your opponent's 40-yard line. Yes, it worked. The play worked. You're in their zone. The coach calls a timeout so you and your teammates can catch your breath, because he knows the next few plays are going to be really difficult. You run over to the coach. You tell him, this is great, coach. We're doing it. He tells you the next play, and you will need to run. Oh, I'm not doing very good. You'll need to run. It's going to be difficult, but we got this. You say, okay, God, or coach, we got this. I got this. You run out back onto the field with your teammates. You line up your team, and you look over the opponents. Now, something looks a little different about your opponents. Something has changed, and you start to think, this play will never work. I know I need to do something about this. And so you look over the coach, and he's nodding, and he's clapping, you say, come on, you can do it. But you change the play at the last minute. You yell, hut! And your opponent's defensive end, you drop back to make a pass, and your opponent's defensive end runs and plummets you. Now you can do nothing. And he's over the top of you, and he's taunting you and telling you that you're a loser, you're no good. He's telling you all the things that opponents may tell you. Don't get up. Stay down there. And you think, what am I going to do? I have to walk back over. Because you hear your coach calling time out. I have to walk over, and I have to see my coach. I have to talk to him. So you slowly lift yourself up off the ground, and you walk over to your coach. And you're still looking down. And your coach says, look at me. Well, you don't want to look at him because you don't want to admit your fault. So you start to look up. And the coach puts his hands on your shoulders. And he squeezes your shoulders. And he says, that was not the play that I called. And the coach says, your enemy broke through and he took you down. But the good news is, you're back up. And I have some plays that will get you into the end zone. Trust me. And so you say, okay, coach, I'm so sorry. I took it on my own. I will listen. I will trust. I will follow through. So he squeezes your shoulders one more time, slaps you on the back, and you run back in. Your team lines up. You look at the defense, your opponents, and they look more determined to annihilate you more than ever. And you start to shiver a little bit in your boots or shoes or cleats. But you know the coach, you're trusting him, you're trusting what he says. He has not failed you yet. And so you call the play. 10 yards. Wow. You broke through. You call the next play, and you look and you think, this is going to be a tough one. Okay, the play is hand off, Jenny running back. All right, Lord, you know what you're doing. I'm going to do, or coach, you know what you're doing. Cut, you turn, you hand it off to your running back. He breaks through the defensive line and takes it into the end zone. Touchdown. You win the game. You score. Everything's good. You look at your enemies. And all they can do is say, what just happened? Mm-hmm. And slither away. Mm-hmm. You run over your coach. He gives you a great big hug. And he says, you know, you faltered there a little bit. But you put your focus on trusting me. And he said, I had that play all along. Because you see, that running back was there for you. So you didn't have to carry it all on your shoulders. And you know what? That running back, you know, he's my son. I know what he's built up. I have helped create what he is. And he was made for such a time as this to break through and destroy your enemies.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You say, thanks, coach. Your way is best. Don't ever give up on me. I will continue to trust and listen and to rely on you. Hallelujah. Let's read Matthew 11, 28 to 30 again. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will ease you. I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am gentle, meek. I am humble and lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your soul. My yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, not hard, not sharp or pressing, but comfortable and gracious and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to bear, to bore. Hallelujah. This is him. This is who he is. And this is who he has called his people and what he's called his people to do. So here it is. Here's the title. Here it is. Team Jesus. Here it is. Here's all your dreams, your prayers, your crying out to the Lord, your fears, your struggles. Here's the play. Coach says, trust me, I am faithful. I will show you. Watch me. Show me. I will show you. Say, okay, coach. Hut. You hand it off to your running back, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And he takes it.
Amen.
Watch what he will do. Word to the wise. Do not run your running back down. Take the ball back and stand there. Because what's going to happen? You're going to plummet. Put it in his hands. I know it's easier said than done. But read these verses. Trust him. Remind yourself who he is. There's life in these words. There's life for your soul. Remember, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. There's life. The enemy wants to take you out, but he cannot. Okay? Hallelujah. Hand it off. Give it to him. And I'm just going to pray for you. Give you a blessing. Hallelujah. Father, I just praise you for each one of these precious, precious children gathered here today, Lord. Thank you that you have refreshed our souls with these scriptures. I pray each one of them will just take it and run with it, give it, and just glean from it, Father. Let's pray, Father, that your face shine upon them, that you will give them peace, refresh and renew all that you are in their lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good. Amen. A little bit longer.